Today's scripture reading is from a selection of verses in the book of Colossians in the New Testament. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness.
See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. This is God's word.
We are in the middle of a short three-part sermon series called The Doubling of Wonder. The doubling you just heard comes at the beginning and the end, where Paul writes about the mystery of Christ. At the beginning, he says his goal for his audience, which now includes us, is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Did you catch all of that? It's one of Paul's more famous run-on sentences. What he's saying is that to find meaning in your life, or the meaning of life, you have to find what's hidden in the mystery of a person. Not a philosophical system, not a political ideology, not even a theological tradition, but a person, Jesus. Knowledge is not found by trying to figure out everything you do not understand, but by experiencing the wonder of someone you will never fully understand. Then at the end, Paul asks for prayer, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, there it is again, for which I am in chains. How mysterious is this? Paul asks for prayer to be able to proclaim the message of Christ from prison. That's where he's writing, of all places. And if that's not mysterious enough, the message he asks for prayer to proclaim is the very same message that got him locked up in the first place. So 3 points, wonder in the mystery of life, wonder in the mystery of Christ, and wonder in the making. Early morning, Monday morning, I was walking our dog and I was thinking about this passage, call it my initial sermon prep. And I prayed something like this, God, help me remember some moments from my life where I felt wonder. Then mysteriously, in the span of just a few minutes, multiple stories came to mind. So many I had to pause our walk, pull out my phone, and take notes. I thought about the time Katie and I went to Sedona, Arizona. And the moment we got out of the car, I heard a silence, a quiet that I had never heard before. The analytical part of me started trying to figure this out, all by way of comparison to Houston, like how Houston is filled with the ambient noise of millions of air conditioners humming along all at the same time and for the better part of most of our days. Not to mention the sound created by so many vehicles, especially big old Texas trucks and SUVs, must leave some kind of audible footprint. Then there's the humidity, something that oppressive. Maybe it even has a sound. You can certainly feel it. But what I discovered is that I enjoyed it less by trying to understand it more. I thought about Julia's basketball team winning the championship dramatic fashion when she was 8 years old. Down by six, only 2 minutes left, which if you don't know anything about 7 and 8 year old girls basketball, this usually means game over. But then four different players made consecutive shots. Julia made the game tying bucket. I can still see the expression on her face and the little fist pump. To cap it all off, Kennedy Dupree, still remember her name. She rarely scored, but she grabbed a rebound with 20 seconds left, went coast to coast, let a jumper fly from the right wing, nothing but net. I have those 2 minutes on video somewhere, but I don't need it. I thought about going to the Campus Crusade for Christ Christmas conference my junior year of college. Incidentally, this was also the first time I got to spend some time with this attractive freshman named Katie, who possessed this superpower of making me not take myself so seriously. Weeks later, she beat me in horse, then told me her favorite movie was Hoosiers, and I almost went to the jewelry store. On the final night of Christmas conference, there was a time of prayer and singing. Katie remembers this too, joined by some of our closest friends. Well into midnight, we prayed and worshiped Jesus. No one wanted to leave. It went on for hours. Eventually, they had to shut it down. Paul writes in Ephesians, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." It was something like that. Finally, I thought of a street magician in Austin, Texas. This guy should go on America's Got Talent. He was that good. But my girls hate watching magic with me because of the Sedona factor. I can't help it. I have to figure out how the trick works. I can't resist the urge to consider all the possible ways that I'm being duped. And this is so annoying to them. It's worse than any dad joke. On my walk, I figured out why. Magic isn't magic if you understand it. Magic is only magic when you enjoy the wonder of it. I'm sure you could come up with your own lists of wonders. Wonders in the mystery of life. Silence you can hear. Dramatic comebacks that defy explanation. Maybe an experience of God's Spirit that surpasses what alcohol has to offer. It's the mystery of magic. And here's where I think what's true of all our experiences in the mystery of life happens to be the through line in these selection of passages. Thankfulness. It's no coincidence, right? In the span of only 12 verses, bookended by the mystery of Jesus, Paul calls us to be thankful 5 times, overflowing with thankfulness. Be thankful, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Giving thanks to God the Father, being watchful and thankful. It's a redundant redundancy. So let's put it to the test. One question, fill in the blank. I am thankful, even in the middle of a pandemic, because we had some friends over for dinner last Sunday night, and one of them kind of leaned in and whispered, not sure why, we were in our backyard, no one was around. Shame is a sneaky thing. Said, the pandemic has been good for us. Now hear me, in no way am I minimizing all the loss. And I pray the Pfizer vaccine and others eradicates COVID. But hear me, even in the middle of a global pandemic, united to Jesus, you can be thankful. You can even overflow with thankfulness. You can sing with gratitude, giving thanks to God through Jesus. As you wait and watch for good news, you can be thankful when there seems to be nothing but bad news. Paul wrote these words from prison, which seems a lot worse than a pandemic. And what Paul is arguing for, to shift now to the second point, is deep magic. that at the center of wonder, the wonder of all wonders, is a person, Jesus, period. A man who was also God, who gave his life away in order to give us our lives back. Every other wonder this world has to offer, no matter how wonderful, no matter how good the argument sounds, no matter how elegant the philosophy proposes to be, no matter how captivating the beauty of the art, compared to Jesus, it's hollow and deceptive. Don't be deceived, Paul proclaims. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. How's that possible? I mean, technically, I am absent from you in body right now, and I suppose I'm also somewhat present through the screen you're watching me on and the lens I'm speaking into, but I can't see what Paul claims to see. How disciplined you are, your faith in Christ. You may very well be going to the kitchen to get another cup of coffee right now, or multitasking on your laptop with multiple tabs open in addition to whatever virtual platform you are using to check us out. I gotcha. A few verses later, Paul returns to this theme. He says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ." You see, no matter how fine the fine-sounding argument is, if it doesn't lead to being encouraged in heart and united in love, remember that's Paul's goal, then it's hollow and deceptive. The litmus test for all truth claims is whether or not they lead to encouragement and unity. If they don't, you're being sold a bill of goods, and you should instead consider Jesus, not theological propositions about Jesus, just Jesus, the mystery of God, namely Christ, as he is revealed in the Old and New Testaments. Now, may I have your permission to tease this out in our current cultural moment? If you agree with me that there's a mystery to life that cannot be understood, and if you agree with me that when you try to explain the mystery, you wind up missing the point. And finally, if you agree with me that we all possess deep longings we do not understand to experience this mystery, this wonder, then here's the question Paul is begging us to ask ourselves. Why do we settle for such cheap counterfeits? Why do we become such militant crusaders for conflicting, competing, even corrosive explanations? Do you know what all isms have in common? Capitalism, socialism, communism, conservatism, liberalism, progressivism, libertarianism, rationalism, structuralism, post-structuralism, modernism, postmodernism, dare I say, critical race theory and criticisms of critical race theory. They try to explain everything. There's no room for mystery, which is just another way of saying they're not Jesus. No ism is nearly mysterious enough to give you the wonder you have to have, because you're human. So here's my question. What human traditions, what fine-sounding arguments, what hollow philosophies are deceiving you? And how is Jesus different? That's the question you always need to be asking yourself. Now, let me back up just a little, because I want you to hear me. It's fine to have a take. It's fine to consider any and all sorts of what I call ickle explanations, you know, philosophical, theological, biological, psychological, political, economical, sociological. Take a sip of whatever the latest mixed cocktail is that claims to explain how the world works, how the world's always worked, how the world is working because of how it used to work, and most importantly, of course, how the world should work. Have you finally found the solution? And you know, because you understand it and can explain it, what Paul would say is, no, you don't. And no, you can't. Because if and when you really do, you can understand it. Nor will you be able to explain it. Because it's not an it, it's a person. This is what Paul proposes. It's a who, not a what. Because what you're really chasing and won't ever be able to stop chasing is wonder. The wonder of something you cannot understand or ever explain, because it's not something, it's someone. The mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of knowledge and wisdom. Listen, to be human, wonder just works a lot better. Listen, and this may be hard to hear, if you think you are wise, you're not, unless you're wise in Christ. If you think you know, you don't, unless you know Jesus. But here's the other thing. To encounter the mystery of God in Jesus, especially as he calls us to over and over and over again, means you'll never know everything or completely know anything. Again, if you're seeking to know Jesus, there's always more to know when you know Jesus. In verses 6 to 7 of chapter 2, Paul writes, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Turns out the way we live as followers of Jesus is the same way we become followers of Jesus, by simply receiving him as Lord of your life. Because it's no longer working for you to serve in that capacity. Trust me, you can't bear the weight of yourself. Only Jesus can bear your weight. Turning over the keys to him is what we call repentance and faith. It's two sides of the same gospel coin. Turning from your sin, turning to your Savior every single day. This dynamic keeps you thankful. And this is wonder in the making. Real quick, I love how Paul isn't content to be theoretical. He gets wonderfully practical in chapters 3 and 4, oscillating between what I'm going to call passively receiving and actively doing. First, passively receiving. Paul writes, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Then let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Let the peace of Christ rule. Let the message of Christ dwell. Both passive voice. Because you can only receive these from Jesus. You cannot produce peace. With him, you can help make it. You cannot write the message. The gospel always begins with what's true about you because you belong to Jesus, before it tells you how to behave because of the example of Jesus. But it does tell you how to behave, which is actively doing. Paul writes, be thankful. But he writes, be thankful after he writes, you were called to peace. You won't ever possess a heart of gratitude until you receive the peace of Christ. What about the message of Christ? Again, same pattern. Paul writes, let the message of Christ dwell among you. And the you here, as it nearly always is in Paul's letters, is y'all. He writes, let the message of Christ dwell before he writes, teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And take note, this teaching and admonishing, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. So mysterious. Is it possible that singing to and with one another is the most effective way to hold each other accountable to the way of Jesus? Back and forth, Paul goes, passively receiving, actively doing, which culminates in this: whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This pattern, passively receiving from Jesus, actively doing because of Jesus, is the way that you get to participate in the wonder of his mystery. You are a wonder in his making, centered in his mystery, his message, his peace, living your life in him the same way you began your life in him, overflowing with thanksgiving because you're filled with his spirit. Don't you see? You slowly transform, not just into a person, but an entire community that is encouraged in heart and united in love. You're part of his wonder now, part of his mystery, especially as you love others like he loved you. And especially no matter how other the others may seem, it was God's idea for no one to be the same. But it was also God's idea for everyone to reflect him. Our dog is a rescue dog. We've had her for over 10 years, but we don't know how old she is. To be honest, for such a long time, she did nothing but annoy me. I'm just not a dog lover. But finally, after all these years, she's grown on me. It really is a mystery. I even let her sleep between us, which used to be unthinkable. And nearly every morning, we take a walk. On our walk earlier this week, the one when I asked God to help me remember moments of wonder, as we turned down our street, she picked up her pace. Maybe she always does this, and I just noticed it for the first time. Regardless, the thought occurred to me, she knows. Somehow she knows this is my street. I'm almost home. My workout will be over soon. I'm sure it feels like a workout because of how hard she's panting when we get inside. I looked down and said something like, you know we're almost home, don't you? And she glanced up at me and she tried to run even faster. And I thought, we're all just trying to get home. One day, this workout will finally be over. Amen.